Today, you might have noticed, is April 1st, and this day is often called April Fool's Day. It's a day for nearly 500 years when people perpetuate hoaxes or tricks, play tricks on each other. They try to fool one another. I looked up on history.com, and it says historians speculate that April Fool's Day dates back to the 1500s, when France switched the Julian calendar for the Gregorian calendar. So, as was called for in the Council of Trent, in the Julian calendar, as in the Hindu calendar, the new year begins with the spring equinox around April 1st. Oh, also sounds like the Hebrew calendar. I read on in history.com, people who were slow to get the news or failed to recognize the start of the new year, meaning on the Gregorian calendar, being moved to January 1st, they continued to celebrate the beginning of the year at the end of March or through April 1st. And because they were slow to get the news, they became the butt of jokes and hoaxes. They were called April Fools, because by everybody else's calendar that we're in the know, it was supposed they started the year on January 1st. Well, today I want to cover what the Bible says about fools and compare what mankind has learned about fools. Now, by learning to identify fools, we can better prepare ourselves to deal with the fools that we come across in this life, and as we prepare to become part of the royal priesthood in the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible is filled with excellent advice, and there's one section of the Bible that we focus on in particular with wisdom, although wisdom is throughout the Bible, but a particular portion of the Bible is called wisdom literature. Those five books referred to as wisdom literature are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. So throughout the Bible, then, and especially wisdom literature, the scripture records the use of the term fool. Well, I've long been uncomfortable using the term fool because when I read Matthew 5:22, it says, "But whoever says you fools shall be in danger of hellfire." That sounded pretty twitchy to me, so I wanted to be very careful by not calling other people fool. And of course, if you look up further in that verse or before that, it talks about your brother, meaning fellow church members. So we want to be careful about the use of the term fool. We must nevertheless recognize foolishness. And the Bible devotes significant writing about fools and wisdom. So it would be wise of us to learn how to handle the subject of fools. This is a subject that surrounds us because the world is filled with foolishness. The foolishness of decisions that ignore God's laws that are in place for our happiness and well-being. At this time of year, we're on the cusp of the annual spring holy days. And during the upcoming 7 days of unleavened bread, we follow the biblical directives to put leaven out of our houses, just as we put sin out of our lives. For 7 days, leaven represents sin. So we watch what we eat, we avoid leaven. And leaven then is a physical type that teaches us how challenging it is to purge sin from our lives. And when we practice putting leaven out of our homes and lives for 7 days, we come to realize the ongoing importance of putting then sin out of our lives, not just for 7 days, but for every day during the year. Now, of course, you'll find the Roman Catholics and the Protestants, they all have a period they call Lent, where they have to give up something. But I've never read where they're actually giving up sin. They just give up things. So giving up sin is what the Bible calls for, and that leaven is represented by sin. Now, my background as an economist, of course, I like to read stuff from other economists. And there happened to be an Italian economist named Carlo Cipolla, and he studied some interesting characteristics of human behavior. And he called these behavioral characteristics laws of human behavior. Well, when he says laws, actually he's referring to theories. But so if we take a look, for example, at Sir Isaac Newton, formulated a statement about the law of gravity, we realize Newton didn't invent the law of gravity. He simply described a natural law in the universe. Newton went on to describe other laws of the universe, such as the law of inertia, law of physics, in which a body in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted upon by a greater force. Well, in economics is really about the psychology of decision-making. And I've taught thousands of students over the years the basic definition of economics, which is this. Economics is the study of how people make decisions in a world of limited resources. Well, people have to make good decisions in their own best interest in order to enhance their personal or societal well-being. Unfortunately, many people are not in the habit of making good decisions. And unfortunately, I include myself in that group, but I try to keep making better and better decisions. Well, the Italian economist, Carlo Cipolla, formulated a theory he called the five basic laws of stupidity. So today we're going to take a look at these five basic laws of stupidity and analyze them by using wisdom from the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. I do want to give a word of thanks for some of the research on the fools done by Lincoln Marini. He's an elder in Southern California. My wife and I had to get to know him and his wife about a dozen years ago, and we stayed in the same house during a meeting in Cincinnati. So I want to thank him for that and acknowledge that. So the title of today's message is The Five Basic Laws of Stupidity. Now, if you're like me, that title sounds kind of rude and objectionable. But as we go through this subject, I suspect that we'll see why the Bible has so much to say about the decision-making process and the use of and the importance of using wisdom. And we'll see why the Bible is so descriptive when it focuses on foolish behavior. Well, Mr. Cipolla came up with law number one. And of course, some of these you almost have to fall down laughing because they're sort of obvious. Law number one, always and inevitably, everyone underestimates the number of stupid individuals in circulation. Well, that means no matter how many foolish people you're surrounded by, you're underestimating how many people there really are. This is because we automatically assume that most people are reasonably intelligent based upon superficial or irrelevant evidence, such as maybe their job or education or social status, or even how they speak, their eloquence. So we underestimate, the first law is that we underestimate the number of those people in circulation. Now, for the purposes of this message, Mr. Cipolla calls them stupid, the Bible calls them fools. So I just want you to be able to use that terminology interchangeably here. Mr. Cipolla theorized law number two. The probability that a certain person be stupid is independent of any other characteristics of that person. What he's doing is saying there's no correlation between education, job, social class, nationality, finances, and people's tendency to be stupid. There are even stupid Nobel Prize winners. Stupid people are in every walk of life. The proportion in the population seems to be the same all over the world. Doesn't matter whether it's a nationality or race or anything else. We can use these other criteria to determine if we can't use those to determine if a person is what Mr. Cipolla calls stupid. Law number three, Mr. Cipolla suggests, a stupid person is a person who causes losses to another person or to a group of persons while himself deriving no gain and possibly even incurring losses. So he's saying a stupid person does something that causes losses to other people, but there's no benefit to himself. He might even lose. So it's meaning a poor decision. Now, this is a social theory about causing losses to self and others, which means a person can be stupid even if they're a genius in their own field. Doesn't matter if they're a genius in math or physics, computer programming, chemistry, literature, construction, the arts, sports, or even juggling. They can still be foolish. A stupid person can be outstanding in their own field, but still be considered a stupid person if his decisions cause losses to others and they don't gain anything by it. Now, there are four kinds of categories. There's the first kind of category that Mr. Cipolla says, that one person makes a decision that benefits himself and he benefits other people. He calls those intelligent people, where it's a win-win, win for you and win for the other people. And then he calls a second category, people that make decisions, and there are losses to other people, but gains to themselves. He calls those bandits. In other words, they make a decision, but other people lose and they somehow gain. The third category he calls is benefits to others, but losses to themselves. He calls those naive people. They're being taken advantage of. They don't realize it often. Many times I've been taken advantage of and didn't realize it. So he'll call them naive or helpless. And the fourth category, and of course, graphs it all very nicely, like a good economist would do, losses to others without benefiting themselves. And he calls those are the stupid people. He says those people mess things up for everybody else, even to the point where they suffer harm to themselves, and they derive no clear gain or perhaps even losses from their decisions. So Mr. Cipolla theorizes that stupid people are remarkably consistent in making stupid decisions. Basically, they go about messing the world up for everyone else. Now, on your notes, you're probably making a list of the people you know right now that fit into those various categories, and I should not be asking you for that list. Mr. Cipolla theorizes law number four. Non-stupid people, I like to think of that as us, non-stupid people always underestimate the damaging power of stupid individuals. In particular, non-stupid people constantly forget that at all times and places and under any circumstances, to deal with or associate with stupid people invariably turns out to be a costly mistake. Whoa. So if you're dealing with the people that what they call a biblical fool, or what Mr. Cipolla says, stupid people, it's going to cost you if you engage with those people. So all categories of people, doesn't matter where you are in society or in the world, all categories of people routinely underestimate the damage is caused by stupid people. The fifth and last law proposed of the theory of stupidity proposed by Mr. Cipolla, the fifth law is this. A stupid person is the most dangerous type of person. A stupid person is more dangerous than a bandit. Whoa. Well, bandits are predictable, and they will be incentivized to benefit themselves at the expense of others. We call them robbers, thieves, some kind of larceny. But stupid people are highly irregular, and they cause losses to themselves often as well as to others. You see, bandits have goals, and they have incentives. Even if the goals are perverse and illegal and immoral, they're predictable. But bandits are different than stupid people because stupid people don't follow incentives. They're just causing problems. This random behavior makes stupid people fundamentally unpredictable. And they're everywhere. We define stupid people in the terms of their social behavior. It doesn't matter if they're highly educated, they're eloquent, they're articulate, highly skilled in a field. They can still exhibit stupidity in their decision-making processes. And again, I'm embarrassed to say that I've made enough stupid decisions over the years that I can qualify to stand here and explain about stupid decisions. Tomorrow, when we go anywhere, and we step inside of almost any room, even those with highly educated and articulate people, we can be reasonably assured that in that room, there will be people who are highly destructive decision makers. In some way, they're destructive. Just because we walk into a room with then uneducated, ignorant, or inarticulate people, we shouldn't assume that they have any more or less destructive decision makers than any other group, according to Cipolla. We can have ignorant people who are not stupid decision makers. Finally, the economist, historical economist Cipolla argues you can't teach stupid people, whereas you can teach ignorant people because ignorant people can learn. Stupid people won't learn no matter how high the cost to themselves and others. Mr. Cipolla is a historical economist who examined the rise and fall of civilizations. He suggests that the critical factor in the fall of civilizations is not how the stupid people behave, because we've always had them around, but it's rather how the non-stupid people prepare for those, meeting those people, and how they react. So Mr. Cipolla suggests that if society benefits, if everybody follows the rules of the society, whoa, this sounded pretty familiar with biblical teaching. Especially if the bandits and the stupid people are required by the positive norms of society. Well, this parallels the teachings in the Bible. So now I want to go through and see how these revelations and the theories of Mr. Cipolla parallel with the teachings of the Bible. So you might want to open up to Proverbs, because we're going to be digging into Proverbs today. A few other places, but mostly in Proverbs. Well, the Bible tells us how to identify a biblical fool. The major difference between a biblical fool and a non-fool is the willingness to learn. Even Mr. Cipolla brought that out. In Proverbs 1, verse 7. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, most of us have probably memorized this verse somewhere along the way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we read in Proverbs, we're in Proverbs 1, turn to verse 22. I'm going to read this in the English Revised Version in Proverbs 1:22. Fools, how long will you love being ignorant? How long will you make fun of wisdom? How long will you hate knowledge? People that don't want to change, they don't want to learn anything more, because then they're responsible for what they know. We can turn to Proverbs 8, verse 5. In Proverbs 8, verse 5, and again, I'll read this in the English Revised Version, and I'll use several different biblical versions today to get the meaning across. In Proverbs 8, 5, you who are ignorant, learn to be wise. You who are foolish, get some common sense. You probably heard that common sense is pretty lacking. It's not very common, but we all wish we'd do that. Now, a fool constantly does foolish things. It's a way of life. They do it often. In fact, it's predictable how often they're going to be unpredictable in their decision-making process. And they don't have a desire to change. They don't want to learn anymore. Well, we, as responding to the call of God, when we do a foolish action, we repent. We change. We don't want to repeat that behavior. But a biblical fool doesn't repent. They don't want to change. A biblical fool continues to do the same foolish thing over and over again. Now, a biblical fool, Mr. Marini points out, cannot be identified just by looking at them. He suggests there's three ways to identify a biblical fool. First of all, is to listen to a person's speech. Secondly, look at a person's behavior. And thirdly, examine the results of his actions. So speech, behavior, and results. Kind of reminds me of Will Rogers, Oklahoma cowboy, said, there's three ways to learn. You can learn by reading. You can learn by observing others. Or, to paraphrase, you can learn by hanging on to the touching the electric fence for yourself. And then I remember this had to be about 30 some years ago. I was a deacon in Minneapolis, and I was bemoaning, this terrible situation, and I didn't know if the other party really meant it or not. And he pointed out that dumb or crooked, the results are the same. So you got to brace yourself. So we're going to take a look at some of the characteristics of a biblical fool according to their speech, because that's how we can identify a fool. One of the three ways is by their speech. Well, the first way, and there are eight characteristics of biblical fools according to their speech. The first way is a biblical fool will communicate false statements about others, and they have an intent to harm others. We can call this slander or libel, and we can turn to Proverbs 10, verse 18. In Proverbs 10, verse 18, and I'm going to read this in the New English Translation. Proverbs 10, 18. The one who conceals hatred utters lies, and the one who spreads slander is certainly a fool. So we have this, some people, they feel compelled to say bad things that aren't true about other people. The second way that people can be identified as a fool is proclaiming their foolishness by talking too much. Oh, I didn't put the verse down, but there, in many words, there is sin. I'll have to look up where that verse is, but I'm going to turn to Proverbs 12:23. In Proverbs 12:23, and unless I say otherwise, I'm going to be quoting from the New King James version of the Bible. In Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. In other words, a prudent man, he doesn't blab everything he knows, whereas the fool will proclaim foolishness, will continue to blabber even when they don't know something. We can turn to Proverbs 13:6. In Proverbs 13:6, it reinforces this, and I'll read this in the Common English Bible translation. In Proverbs 13:16, the prudent act intelligently, but fools display their stupidity. I think there was a saying once. It says, "It's if you remain silent and thought a fool, it is better than opening your mouth and removing all doubt." So that's one characteristic, is proclaiming foolishness. You don't have to tell everything that you know. You have to use discretion. But fools are anxious to display their knowledge, or what they pass for knowledge, and they blurt out many words by and demonstrate that they don't have good sense. The third characteristic of a biblical fool being identified by their speech, number three, is arrogant speech gets them in trouble. Arrogant speech gets them in trouble. In Proverbs 14, in verse 3, in Proverbs 14:3, in the English Revised Version, foolish words cause you trouble. Wise words protect you. Ever wonder, why did I say that? Oops, that would have been better left unsaid. Oh, there's a few of those in history that I've had to experience. Or as you walk away, you think, I could have worded that a little bit better down the way. But that's for those of us who want to do better. But a biblical fool, to them, it doesn't matter. The fourth identification method for people by identifying a biblical fool by people's speech is eager to throw around foolish opinions. They're eager, not just available, not just ready for it. In Proverbs 14:33, in Proverbs 14:33, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what's in the heart of fools is made known. They just can't resist. They're going to go ahead and spread a foolish opinion around rather than let wisdom seep in. The fifth identification of a biblical fool is, and this is a longer sentence, they might say the wrong thing, or they might say the right thing at the wrong time, or they might say the right thing the wrong way, or they might say the right thing to the wrong person. It's a matter of choosing then what they say and when they say it. We can take a look at Proverbs 15 and verse 2. In Proverbs 15 and verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Apparently, they just can't resist. We're in Proverbs 15. Let's go to verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The biblical fool, as we come to see, they feel compelled to express their opinions and their feelings. Characteristic number six, the speech of these biblical fools isn't compatible with their character, conduct, or position. We turn to look at the Proverbs 17 and verse 7. In Proverbs 17 and verse 7, I'm going to read this in the English Revised Version. You wouldn't expect to hear a fine speech from a fool, and you shouldn't expect lies from a ruler. So you can have a biblical fool who says they're going to speak about doing wonderful and righteous things, but their behavior is not consistent then with their speech. So you know they're blowing hot air as it were. Their speech is not compatible. Just as if you have a ruler of a country who's a liar, you wouldn't expect that from a ruler, but apparently it happens too often. Characteristic number 7 of identifying a biblical fool by their speech. These fools are obnoxious and always argue. Contention follows them wherever they go. They are disrespectful and irritating. They lack discretion. So, obnoxious and like to argue. Now, in Proverbs 18, verse 6, in Proverbs 18, 6, I'm going to read again in the English Revised Version. And I picked this for this particular translation because it's so pointed. Fools say things to start arguments. They're just asking for a beating. It's like pulling the pin on a hand grenade, rolling it in the room, and seeing what damage it can cause. So they're saying, and we've all seen somebody that does that. They will just throw something out there just to see if they can get things going. Or as Matthew Henry says, they're spoiling for a fight. And that commentary. The 8th characteristic and the last characteristic of identifying a fool by their speech. A biblical fool lacks self-control. They don't have a filter on their speech. In Proverbs 29:11, talking about not having a filter, in Proverbs 29:11, again in the New King James, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. The lesson here is we have to choose our words wisely and wait for the right time to say them. And sometimes the right time to say them is not at all. Or to the right person at the right time and the right place. So those are the 8 characteristics of biblical fools according to their speech. The second category is identifying characteristics of biblical fools according to their behavior and not just their speech. And there's 12 verses that go with this one, 12 characteristics. First of all, a biblical fool will put professional or financial success ahead of being honest. The Bible reinforces the importance of honesty. But if we look in Proverbs 19:1, we can find the description of someone who's not honest. In Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. We have examples of this are people who don't keep their agreements. They might lie on a resume to get a job. I used to work for a company, and I was somewhat astounded that it wasn't all that important that the company keep its agreements, because the agreement was only agreeable as long as it benefited him, but when it no longer benefited him, then he decided he wasn't going to keep that deal anymore. And too bad, so sad. And then there were lawsuits and all the rest that came with that when people said, no, you got to live by your agreements, and he chose not to. You might know it, I'm no longer there. The second characteristic of a biblical fool according to their behavior, and that is quick-tempered. I'm sure we've all seen some activity like this in the past. In Proverbs 12:16, in the CSB translation, a fool's displeasure is known at once, but whoever ignores an insult is sensible. Well, Proverbs 12:16 calls attention to some people, you know, they're quick on the trigger. Somebody does something, you did what? I can't believe you did X, Y, or Z. And then have a blow up and take action accordingly. In the Common English Version, that Proverbs 12:16 says, losing your temper is foolish. Ignoring an insult is smart. Use good judgment. So, characteristic number 2, being quick-tempered, those biblical fools are easily triggered. We feel like we're walking on eggshells around them. We never know when they're going to blow up. The third characteristic of behavior is that a biblical fool is unaware of danger until they're trapped with no way to escape. Unaware of any danger until they're trapped with no way to escape. We look at Proverbs 7:22. In Proverbs 7:22, and again the New King James Version, it talks about a young man who goes after an indecent woman. And in Proverbs 7:22, it says, "Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks." Does the ox know that it's going to be slaughtered? No, it's just going down the path, and that's it. And so when people subject themselves to a bad decision process, they put themselves in danger, and they can't escape. They can't get out of it. These biblical fools are not able to resist persuasive or seductive smooth talk and do something wrong. Now, it refers here to male, but it could be either male or female. The real principle here is it applies to impulsive people who then are easily unaware of the danger and are impulsive. The fourth behavioral category of biblical fool is they enjoy wicked schemes and laugh at sin. They enjoy wicked schemes and laugh at sin. In Proverbs 10:23. In Proverbs 10:23, to do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. They kind of like it. It kind of reminds me of this saying, and I don't know where it comes from. There's no sense to argue with a fool, because arguing with a fool is like wrestling with a pig. When you wrestle with a pig, you both get all dirty, and the pig sort of likes it. And that's kind of that way it is with a biblical fool. They kind of like it. You know, that's their, they like to dwell on wicked schemes and laugh at sin. They think there's no consequence. In Proverbs 14:9, I'm going to read it in the Common English Version. And Proverbs 14:9, fools don't care if they're wrong, but God is pleased when people do right. You see, whatever happens, happens. They're going to go do whatever foolish behavior they're going to do. The English Revised Version in the same Proverbs 14:9, and I found this. Now, this is an interesting way, because it tells us why we have traffic laws. Fines are needed to make fools obey the law, but good people are happy to obey it. Whoa. When it says no parking in front of a fire hydrant, and people park there anyway, they're putting other people at risk should there be a disaster and the fire hydrant needs access to. I've seen a picture where somebody was parked right next to a fire hydrant in a red zone, and I saw the picture, and the fire truck simply smashed the windows out in the car, hooked up the hose, ran it through the car, and off. No liability to the fire department. They were illegally parked in the wrong place. So it was no big deal. I can park anywhere I want. So there are fines to make fools obey the law. Some boast about sin. They think it's a joke, so they don't have any fear of God. Earlier we read Proverbs 1:7, where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. These are the same people that make light of other people's sin, because no big deal for them, no big deal for others. and I've mentioned before, I had a student who took someone else's, or took my jacket from the classroom. And they took it because a student wanted it. I liked the jacket, so I just took it. A student made a mistake. Well, of course, the jacket was gone. That was not what I was going to say about it. But one day, the student came to school wearing a different jacket, never came back with my jacket. And I simply took the jacket, stuffed it in my desk drawer. Student wanted to know where the jacket was. And I said, oh, it's locked in the desk drawer. Well, I want it back. I said, so do I. want mine back. And it was all fun and games until their jacket was gone. And amazingly, that student brought my jacket back, thrust it at me and said, here, now I want mine back. Well, that's the kind of haughty attitude that we're talking about laughing at sin and thinking they have a wicked scheme and that they can do anything. The fifth category of a biblical fool is in the behavior category, is they think they're always right and everyone else is always wrong. Now, wait a minute. That's the way I like to think. But we all like to think that we're right. And if we didn't think that way, then we wouldn't have thought of it in the first place, right? That's what we think of. However, these biblical fools refuse to receive instruction in their own mind because they don't need it, because they're already right. Whereas a converted person, not a biblical fool, says, well, you may have something there. Let's check it out. In Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The next half of the verse, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Both of those phrases go together. The one who heeds counsel is wise, but does a fool heed counsel? No, or there wouldn't be a fool. Matthew Henry commentary says, the biblical fool doesn't realize they need advice because they're already right. So why should they listen to any advice? The sixth behavioral characteristic of a biblical fool is that if they are warned of impending danger, they continue to be confident in their unrighteous behavior. It's like, so what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Let's turn to Proverbs 14 and verse 16. In Proverbs 14 and verse 16, this instruction, a wise man fears and departs from evil. That's the first half of the verse. A wise man, not a fool, is going to look ahead and say, you know what? I don't want that to happen to me. But what is the next half of the verse? But a fool rages and is self-confident. So they're not restraining themselves in any way. The Complete Jewish Bible words Proverbs 14:16 this way. A wise person fears and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and overconfident. So, behavior six, when warned of impending danger, they continue to be confident in their unrighteous behavior. Behavioral characteristic number seven of a biblical fool, these fools pretend to want wisdom, but they're unwilling to pay the price to get wisdom. These fools pretend to want wisdom, but they're unwilling to pay the price to get wisdom. In Proverbs 17 and verse 16, I'm going to read this in several translations. The Complete Jewish Bible says, why would a fool wish to pay for wisdom when he has no desire to learn? So there's no interest in learning, so why would they put forth the effort to try to learn something? In the EHV translation, why hand a fool money to buy wisdom when he has no aptitude for using it? In other words, it's a waste of time and effort to do that. Now, the Living Bible, and this is a paraphrase, and I find this one rather interesting. In the Living Bible, in Proverbs 17:16, it is senseless to pay tuition to educate a rebel who has no heart for the truth. Tell that to some parents who send their kids off to college and they major in beer and parties and then flunk out. Wisdom cannot be bought. Wisdom only comes with a heartfelt desire for wisdom. The eighth category of identifying a biblical fool by their behavior. In Proverbs 17:24, we read about that they're excited about one thing and then another and then another and then another. In Proverbs 17:24, in the Common English Version, we read, anyone with wisdom knows what makes good sense, but fools can never make up their mind. They always have lots of different decisions. They can't settle on the truth. In the NIRV translation of Proverbs 17:24, anyone who understands what is right keeps wisdom in view, But the eyes of a foolish person look everywhere else. They can't focus long enough. So they're unstable in the sense that they lack focus. They're easily distracted. They're bouncing everywhere. And so I went to James 1 in verses 7 and 8. In James 1, verses 7 and 8, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8, he's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. And you may have heard it. I prayed and I'd fasted and I didn't get what I wanted. Well, how about that? Okay. And we're told, don't expect that you're going to receive everything that you ask for. Or double-minded, meaning too many different decisions. You're going two different ways. They're unstable in all his ways. So the eighth characteristic is lack of focus and instability. They're very distracted and bouncing around. Characteristic number nine of a biblical fool, according to behavior, they don't want to gain knowledge. They only want to share their own views, sharing their own views in place of knowledge. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 2. In Proverbs 18, verse 2 in the New King James, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Basically, they've closed off their ears. It doesn't matter what you say. It's important that you listen to what they say. In the Common English Version, it says, fools have no desire to learn. Instead, they would rather give their own opinion. Or the Good News Translation, a fool doesn't care whether he understands a thing at all. All he wants to do is show how smart he is. And we bump into those people how often, especially when they're running for a political office or they're on TV pretending to read the news. In this case, behavioral characteristic number nine is that the biblical fool's opinion is more important than truth. And increasing those numbers are being increased in the last days. And we'll come across that down the way. Characteristic number 10 on behavioral characteristics of a biblical fool for behavior. These fools repeat unrighteous behavior over and over again. I would ask somebody to bring me a bottle of water if they would. Verse 10, these fools repeat unrighteous behavior over and over again. Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. It means they can't learn from experience. They return to their habits, even though the habits are disgusting and even destructive. This refers to the disgusting and harmful nature of sin. Sin hurts the self, it hurts families, it hurts others, it hurts finances, it hurts reputations, and hurts their health. These fools return to the same behavior over and over again, even if they say they're going to repent and reform, but then don't do it. So number 10 was the fools repeat their unrighteous behavior over and over again. Behavioral characteristic number 11, the biblical fool remains foolish even when they're punished often. In Proverbs 27:22, we read in the King James, although you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. You've probably seen a mortar and a pestle. It's where you grind grain, you put a pestle in, you're crushing grain into a flour. So in other words, it doesn't matter what you do to him. They don't change. They're not interested in changing. You might say you can't help these people because they're determined to resist all help. And you may consider that it's a waste of time and often effort to reform someone who does not want to change. I know in the education world, we always look for teachable moments. When does the student want to learn? But if they don't want to learn, guess what? They're not going to learn. And that's really this characteristic here. It doesn't matter how much you punish them or however many times they get a fine or some negative consequence. If they don't want to learn, they're not going to learn. The 12th characteristic, behavioral characteristic of a biblical fool, is that they listen to the voice inside of them. You might say they listen to their heart rather than to the voice of God or any other person. They listen to the voice inside of them. In Proverbs 28, verse 26, Proverbs 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. What does a wise person do differently? They ask advice. They seek counsel. They seek wisdom. They seek more information. In the English Revised Version of Proverbs 28:26, it is foolish to be too confident. Those who ask for advice are wise and will escape disaster. So, in this 12th characteristic, then, of listening to their own advice themselves without seeking others, they are self-convinced to ignore or disobey God's warnings. They're controlled by the desires of the heart than to accept the reality of God's truth. Feelings and a lack of good sense and the lack of understanding or participation in biblical knowledge rules their behavior. And so they isolate or distance themselves from being wise. So the 12 characteristics of biblical fools, according to their behavior and not their speech, is important because we have to be able to identify those biblical fools because we live in a world where there are many of them. The third characteristic, a category of identifying a biblical fool, is identifying a biblical fool by looking at the result of their actions. In Matthew 7:16, we can see how to identify a biblical fool by the result of their actions. In Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So by their fruits, and that's repeated in Matthew 7:20, by your fruits you will know them by their fruits. What fruits are we talking about? We're right, we can turn to Galatians 5:22 and 5:23. And we can read the list of fruits for which we can use for a method of evaluation. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So identifying a biblical fool by the results of their action. This reminds me then of that, of the deacon in Minneapolis many years ago that said, hey, dumb or crooked, the results are the same. Taking a look, what are the results that come from that kind of decision making? Well, the historical economist Cipolla points out that there are four ways that people fall prey to or suffer from acts of other people's stupidity. So it's important for us to know how we can minimize the damage caused by such stupidity if we can overcome these four particular issues. Mr. Cipolla says, number one is ignorance. He said, ignorance may be the highest degree of stupidity, and it appears in people who take risks of any kind, even though they might lack the skills or knowledge necessary to face the risk. Earlier, we mentioned Proverbs 1 and verse 7. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and destruction. Well, ignorance often happens because people are either naive or they're gullible. We can turn to Proverbs 1:22. We're already in Proverbs. In Proverbs 1:22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So it's important for us, don't remain ignorant. We have to always be learning if we want to avoid this highest degree of stupidity, because it's around us. It's everywhere around us. The second category goes hand in hand with ignorance as the highest form of stupidity, and that is, number two, is overconfidence. In Proverbs 13:16, In Proverbs 13:16, we read about this overconfidence. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. Not ignorance, but knowledge. But a fool lays open his folly. Or just goes on and does it anyway. It doesn't matter whether they have the knowledge or not. They're confident in themselves and they move on. The third thing that we should be watchful for, an issue to overcome, is lack of self-control. Mr. Cipolla suggests, and the Bible supports, this lack of self-control is a problem. We have to watch out for people that have it. Mr. Cipolla calls this a medium degree of stupidity that corresponds to impulsive people. They may lack self-control, and they get themselves getting carried away on first impulse. You've gone through the grocery store, and you see all of the stuff at the checkout counter that has high margin and stuff that people want to buy on the way out, a candy bar that they're making 80% profit on, or whatever it happens to be. It's right there. It's impulse buying. I teach that in marketing class. They put all of those high profit items that just, oh, it's only a little bit. So we'll get it right there. Or the $2 beverages that cost them 25 cents for the store to put out. So people involve themselves in impulsive behavior. In 2 Timothy 3, in the first three verses, it talks about what will happen in the end days, in the end times. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 3. And it also gives us a solution. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, but know this, in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Ouch. In other words, impulsive, no filter. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And then he gives the solution. And from such people, turn away. What they're talking about here are biblical fools. Don't deal with those people. Separate yourself from them. And again, as we read earlier in Galatians 5:22 and 5:23, the fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. So part of that self-control is, in our part, having the self-control to not get involved or engaged with the biblical fool. In Proverbs 22, verse 24. In Proverbs 22, verse 24. This is our responsibility when we engage in a biblical fool. In Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, do not go. That's for our benefit. Because if we do, then we're participating in the problem instead of separating ourselves from the problem. The fourth thing that we have to be careful about, according to Mr. Cipolla, is distraction. And he calls it the slightest degree of stupidity, which manifests themselves in things that people that fail to achieve something because they don't pay attention. Or maybe they don't allocate enough resources, or they struggle uselessly, it would be the distraction category. In Proverbs 22 and verse 3, in Proverbs 22 verse 3, we can read about distraction. In the English Revised Version, in Proverbs 22 verse 3, wise people see trouble coming and get out of its way, but fools go straight to it and suffer for it. And you go, oh no, not again. There it goes. They paid no attention to whatever it was, the warning. They were just distracted. Well, today we've learned how to examine a biblical fool. We've examined it through their speech, through their actions, and through observing the results of their behavior. We've observed how even a secular economist can analyze foolish behavior and remarkably parallels the observations with the definition of a biblical fool. Carlo Cipolla, the historical economist in Italian, theorized that there are, first of all, in his five basic laws of stupidity, First of all, there's more stupid people, or biblical fools, as we would say it, than we think. There's always more than we think. Number two, that acting as a stupid person, or I might say biblical fool, is independent of any other characteristic that a person might have. Number three, a stupid person or biblical fool often causes losses to others without a gain to himself. And law number four of Mr. Sopolis' theory, that non-stupid people always underestimate the damaging power of stupid people, or as we're looking at it, as a from a biblical fool. And the fifth theory that Mr. Cipolla has on the fifth law of stupidity, that a stupid person, or as we study, the biblical fool, is the most dangerous type of person, even more so than a bandit. And lastly, we've reviewed a few ways in which we can avoid the hazards of suffering at the hands of biblical fools. First of all, to avoid ignorance, we must always be learning, always seeking the truth. Secondly, we must avoid overconfidence. It lead us to destruction. Third, we must exercise self-control. Self-control in our words and deeds, even when we encounter a biblical fool, even when they don't. Number four, we must not be distracted from our godly goals. In Matthew 7:13, last verse, in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, we are instructed in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We are fortunate to be here today because God has provided for us an opening, an opportunity to understand His truth. We have responded to that calling. We have responded to what God has in store for us. And so it is our opportunity now to avoid what this day, April 1st, symbolizes to the rest of the world as April Fool's Day. We don't want to be fooled by non-truths. We don't want to be fooled by bad behavior, by Satan, by bad speech, or by bad outcomes. So as we step forward into the days of unleavened bread, let us get rid of the things we don't need, separate ourselves from the things that will bring us down, and grab a hold of the truth and hold on to it tightly.